2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes, "And my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. For the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever." Some people seem to have their lives sorted out. You probably working in the city are that type of person. Everything's sorted. You know what you're supposed to do. You don't mess things up. It's all totally organized. It's so impressive. And being the vicar of a congregation like this is particularly intimidating if you are as hopeless as I am. And do you know what it's like? You're not the type of people, because I know almost all of you, who would ever let someone down. And I am certainly, as regards with all my other failures, I know that occasionally I just get everything mixed up, diary mixed up, forget I'm supposed to do that, and end up letting someone down. It happened on Saturday evening when I was supposed to be having supper with an old friend at his flat. And I suddenly realized on the Friday that I was opening up the church for a concert, a worship concert here in the evening, that I was staying till they cleared it up and closed it. I was going to be here at noon and back again at 5 and not getting away till about 9 or 9.30 at night. So I had to grovel by text, couldn't quite bring myself, didn't quite have the courage to ring him up and face his fury. So I got such a help text messages on these things. And he was so gracious. Made it worse, really, had he said something like, "I bought everything, it's a disaster," I wouldn't have felt quite so bad. But he was so gracious, I felt even worse than I might normally have done. But it does actually help, doesn't it, when you're let down by someone only 36 hours later. Yesterday was one of those typical days in the life of a city vicar where at one point I was supposed to be in three different meetings in three different parts of the city all at the same time. I started a Lent course here, legged it off to Guildhall to give papers and everything to the secretary of one of the city charities which I sit on, said I'll be back, I'll certainly be back for the food at the end, and then rushed off to St. Sepulchre's over by the Old Bailey and took a service there, rushed back to the meeting, and the only thing that was left was two small pieces of pita bread. I was so hungry, I thought that's exactly what I need, especially because the embarrassed person who let me down totally gave me a large glass of red wine. I thought, well, I can't drink any of that till I've had some food. And then after that, came back here and grovelled around and found a couple of digestive biscuits, which as a pudding is less imaginative and rich than it could have been. I thought, ah, well, now I know what my mate on Saturday night felt like. Totally let down by someone you thought you could trust. And that was exactly the situation that the Apostle Paul was in the verses we've just read. He'd gone through a difficult and upsetting time, as we saw in verse 16. Not only was no lawyer prepared to take him on as a client in the trial, that's a legal thing, no one came to my support, but then none of his friends had been willing to stand beside him in public either. They'd simply melted away. They weren't interested in putting their heads above the parapet. The remarkable aspect of all this was Paul's attitude. He clearly understood that most people would have think it both foolhardy and dangerous to be seen to be supporting a prisoner on a capital charge. Everyone knew that Nero, the emperor, was vindictive, violent, and unhinged, and it was just better to keep your head down. But in spite of being let down, particularly by his closest friends, where was Luke, we wonder? Where was Titus and Tychicus? Why didn't even they come and sit in the public gallery? Paul's response was remarkable. The second part of verse 16 we read, "May it not be held against them." And the Greek phrase is exactly the phrase that was uttered 30 years later, earlier, by the first Christian martyr, Stephen. At that point, Paul hadn't been converted. He was part of the group who stoned Stephen to death. He heard that young man say, "May it not be held against them." It's recorded in Acts 6 and verse 60. Clearly down the years, the memory of that moment just before that young man died, that moment when he prayed for the forgiveness of his murderers, had remained with Paul as the gold standard of reaction when he was let down. And at this point, he used exactly the same words. Abandoned as he was by everyone, Paul was left to conduct his own defense. But he turned it into a remarkable opportunity, as we see in the second part, of verse 17. "Through me the message of the gospel might be fully proclaimed." Rather than feeling sorry for himself or resentful of others, he simply took the opportunity that he'd been given and talked about Jesus Christ. There with everyone who mattered in the Roman world of the day, in the heart of the city of Rome, he talked about Jesus Christ. He explained what he'd done and why he'd done it. And as he did so, the reality of Jesus' presence that he'd known all his life, the way Jesus, by his Spirit, resources his people, particularly when they're under pressure, became more tangible by the moment. He says, "The Lord stood by my side and gave me strength." As the pressure increased, the sense of Jesus being there became greater. Now then, Jesus hasn't changed. He still wants to free us to forgive those who've let us down and those who've hurt us. He still wants us to be gripped by the extraordinary ability that we have in him, because what we've received from him, to forgive people. And it's very easy to feel we've been made, put in a really difficult position by others, let down by them in a much more serious way than forgetting to go to supper, though that's bad enough. Paul knew he could forgive, and he knew under pressure, if he trusted, Jesus would be there. And it enabled him to seize an opportunity that no one else would have been given. And today he wants to renew in you and me that amazement of being forgiven. He wants to inspire us to be those who again and again, whenever we have it, take the opportunity to speak about him. And he wants us to go from here, perhaps more aware than usual of his presence and his strength.